This is Unleashing Leadership. I'm your host, Travis Moss, and we are wrapping up the Infinite Game. The team interviews are all coming to completion. We are getting ready for our next season. That's going to be Ben Horowitz's book, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. And today, we've got a YouTube video, which is where I go out into the internet and I find an inspiration. Hopefully, I introduce you to something new. And not just give you that inspiration, but I give you my inspiration off of that inspiration. So you get kind of two for the price of one today. Today's video is Warren Buffett speaking. And it's about why 2% succeed and 98% don't. That's the name of the video. And I realized the last YouTube video we did, I gave you the wrong title. I kind of gave you the explanation of the video, not the title. But if you go to our website, there's links to all these videos so you can go check them out for yourself. But in the video that we're going to get into, Warren talks about people doing extraordinary things that resulted in them becoming just incredibly rich. Having the things that most people can only dream about. And interestingly, if you took any of these people that he talks about and you wrote down their credentials before they got started, before they become extremely successful and people that we recognize now, you probably wouldn't have given them a loan or an investment or even bet on them. And he actually jokes about, how do I find these people before they become really expensive? Because basically he's in the business of buying other people's businesses. And if you could buy the business, you know, or invest in the business before it becomes something incredible, well, then you make a lot more money. If you have to wait till it becomes incredible, it costs a lot more to buy. You don't make as much. One of the people that he talks about could not read or write. Another of the people he talks about was a college dropout who didn't find any success until after the age of 40. And I don't want to ruin it for anybody. I would like you to go listen to the video or watch the video. I mean, see these people and these amazing fortunes that they have built for themselves and their families and the generations of people after them. Warren goes in and he talks about the common denominator, what he thinks you see over and over again in these people that make them successful and the type of person that he's looking for. And so I've got 4 or 5 points from him, and I'm going to give you his points. And then I'm going to give you kind of my inspiration from those points. So Warren's first point is, you don't always get it right the first time. And back to our Michael Jordan quote from a few episodes ago, you got to learn to fail first. It doesn't mean you're going to fail, but you've got to understand that failure is a part of the process. You're going to have setbacks. You're likely going to have failures. And if you quit trying, life is not over when you get to 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. Life is going to go on. There's no reason to quit trying. There's no reason to give up just because you lost once or twice or 5 times or 10 times. Sometimes a loss isn't a loss. Sometimes a loss is a setback. We think it's a loss, but it's just a setback. Sometimes it's not even a setback. Sometimes it's just a lesson. Sometimes it's the path going in a different direction, because if you don't go in that path, in that direction, you will have a big failure. Sometimes we need to stop questioning the loss, start looking at what we're going to do afterwards and how we can be better, how we can go further, how we can do more. We need to, in Warren's words, stop worrying about the things that we can't change. We don't have control over politics and over regulations and over monetary policy and over, you know, some of the broad social issues. There's a lot of stuff we don't have control over. But yeah, we're sitting here and we're acting like we do. We can't do stuff because of them, these existential things that are out there. And so we just sit here and we're waiting for somebody to come along and save us, basically, or do it for us. You have control over you. You have control over your attitude. You have control over your work ethic and your openness to learning and willingness to adapt. You get to choose if you are a victim or somebody who sees opportunities. It's all on you. Project an interest in the well-being of others. And I think Warren spends a lot of time talking about this. You need to learn to multiply yourself through other people. I realized this a long time, and I truly believe this. A lot of people have a hard time with this concept, though. Individually, I am limited. But a network can be unlimited. But I am not a network. But I can be the heartbeat of a network. Learn to multiply yourself through other people. Be the heartbeat of a network. Warren says, surround yourself with people better than you are. And there's two parts to this. One is, you will move in the direction of the people you are surrounded with. We pick up the traits of our influences, and most of the time our influences are the people that are surrounding us. If you want to have the traits of somebody worth admiring, not somebody superficial, but somebody actually worth admiring, somebody with some staying power, find that somebody and start spending time with them, studying them, learning from them, figuring out what makes them tick, why they are that person that's actually worth admiring. Anybody who is around you who is not headed in the same direction, they are actually holding you back, unfortunately. You cannot go in two directions at one time. You cannot be influenced for getting better and influenced as being a victim at the same time. You can be influenced in one direction or the other. You need to decide which way you want to go. And then you might have to make sacrifices to go in that direction. Look for people who set an example for you to follow, not someone that you need to fix. This is something that I have struggled with. I have struggled with my entire career. I think I'm getting better at it. But there's a cold, harsh reality to this one. I think there was a harsh reality to the last point, but it gets a little bit colder here. We might think that we'll feel, let's say, fulfillment by fixing somebody. And we actually might be right. We might be able to pour our heart and soul into trying to get somebody to the next level. We might actually get them there eventually. And a lot of times there's a lot of heartbreak along the way if we get there. But we believe that we can help people, so we want to help people. But what if, in the same amount of time it takes me to fix one person, to get one person over the finish line, I could have fixed 100 or 1,000 or a million people. I could have got 100 or 1,000 or a million people over the finish line. Not just one, 100, 1,000, or a million. You say, well, what about that one that you left behind? When you spend your time trying to be a better version of you, you set an example for everybody else. The better you get, the more people are going to look up to you. And you don't get better by staying at the bottom. There are some people who are in love with being at the bottom. Or there are some people who aren't in love with being at the bottom, but they are not willing to do what it takes to get off the damn bottom. We have to let go of being at the bottom. We have to let go of being at the bottom because it's unfair to leave somebody else at the bottom. The ones at the bottom, those people at the bottom, the 100, the 1,000, or the million that we can get across the finish line, the ones that actually want the help, they don't want no fake handout. They don't want your pity. The real help that they need is they need an example of how they can get there. They need to see it actually happen. The ones that you're spending all the time with and you can't seem to get them to nudge, it's because they don't care enough. It's not that important to them. But the ones who really do care, they need you to be the example, not the crutch.